5 seconds. All right. Well, this morning we're going to teach out of the book of Ephesians, kind of all over the place. But if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And again, if you could pray for Pastor while he's gone. And he's got some nice weather. He and his family are up north for a few days. So if you're visiting here, please come back next Sunday. And you'll hear the pastor himself, instead of the stand-in team here. But pray for them, and pray also for Stephanie Grissom. She's over in the Philippines on doing some missionary work, and our daughter Sarah's in Hungary right now for about a month, and just got an email from her, and she says everything is going, quote, really, really good. So it's a blessing, and they're on opposite sides of the world from each other, but they're doing well, and that's a blessing. All right, let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Yeah, chapter 5, and we'll start reading in verse 21. It says, submitting, let's go back to 20. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a chance to come here, for the freedom to come here and worship you and praise you. And Lord, I just pray that you would touch people's hearts here. I pray that you would speak to, actually, Lord, put me aside and speak directly to these people. I'm just a vessel here, and I pray that you would touch hearts. And Lord, you know the different things are going on in each individual's lives. Lord, you know the heartaches and the sorrows and the joys and the triumphs and the victories and the defeats, Lord. And I just pray that you'd meet with us here today. And Lord, these people desire to serve you. They desire to have a greater love for you, or they wouldn't be sitting here on a Sunday morning. Lord, I pray that they get something from you this morning. And pray you bless them for their attentiveness. And I pray you'd help me as we teach through this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk to you today. Talk about, hopefully you can read my writing. We'll see. All right. We're going to talk about something that has the ability to damage the cause of Christ, to lose friendships, to destroy homes, hurt the ones you love most, to steal your joy, to make you useless for the cause of Christ. And what I'm talking about today is, spell check didn't work there. What I'm talking about today is basically our relationships with each other and the authority structure that God has set up. And I've been saved for over 20 years. My oldest son is 22. And, I've seen a lot of things. You know, I'm young by compared to some of you standards, but I have seen quite a few things as a Christian. And in reality, even if I didn't have any experience, I just stepped up to the pulpit, everything here would be true because God's word is true. And what we're conveying here to you today is purely out of God's word. And some of these things we're going to talk about, quite truthfully, people have a lot of trouble with. And the problem isn't that they have trouble with, is that really they have trouble with the authority of God. And so just go through this, just kind of take a step back from your preconceptions and just take a look at this objectively. And let's go through some things here. But poorly handled relationships is really a problem. And the authority structure. God has set up and God has ordained a very definitive authority structure and very specific things in how we are to interact with others. And what the devil wants to do is at every possible turn, as he wants to get in there and twist it and turn it, because what does the Bible say? It says, for God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, thou shalt also reap. And what the devil wants to do is mock God. And when you look at these precepts that God has set forth for a husband, for a father, for a wife, for a mother, and you say, whatever, you're mocking God. It's a rebellion in your heart. So let's take a look at this. And what I started to say before is I've seen, and I think anyone that's been saved a while and really looked at life in general, looked at how people react to things, look at the fruits of people's relationships, you'll see that you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this stuff works. What God has put forth in His book obviously works. And when people deviate from it, there's issues. So first and foremost, relationship that we have here is obviously God through the Lord Jesus Christ and then through, I'll just put the husband here, okay? I don't know if you can see these lines connecting. How do you get to God? Only through the Lord Jesus Christ, correct? You cannot have the love of God unless you're in the love of God is found in where? In Christ Jesus. There is no other way. There's no other way around. We were down preaching at the Basilica Block Party last night, and most of those people didn't really care, but some of them did have some type of an avenue in their mind to God. And I guarantee it, most of their avenues to God were not through the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of their avenues to God were through religion, through their good works, through their own philosophy. One guy came up to some one of our people and said, oh, I've been studying philosophy for 20 years. So? I mean, was that bow down to you or what? It doesn't mean anything. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, right? So there's a command structure here. There's the wife to the husband, and then the wife to the husband, and children to the wife, and to the husband. Children can obviously go right to Jesus Christ. Obviously, the wife can go directly and approach boldly the throne of grace. But that's the main command structure, main authority right there. But what I want to talk about, first of all, is our relationship to Jesus Christ and how that is first and foremost important. The first thing that, the most important thing in a Christian life is not soul winning. It is not doing good deeds. Is not being kind to your fellow man. It isn't any of those things that modern Christianity puts forth. It's not judging. It's not all that stuff. The first and foremost and most important thing in the Christian life is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the way, how do you have that relationship with Jesus Christ? I mean, this is all fundamental stuff, but we can just be reminded of it. Obviously, through Bible reading, through prayer, and through preaching, right? And let's talk about prayer a little bit. I don't know why, but maybe you're different, but for me, prayer is the one that is the hardest. I love reading, so reading the Bible isn't hard for me. But prayer, to sit down and pray for an extended period of time, is always hard. And I always thought of it this way. I guess the things that are hard in a Christian life are probably the things that the devil hates the most. So we need to be more diligent in that. But our mission in life, our primary mission in life, above anything else, is to stay close to God, to stay in fellowship with God. If we're not close to the Lord, how are we going to know how He's dealing with us, right? How are you going to know as a father, as a husband, how to treat your wife if you're not close to God? How are you going to do that? You're going to get some self-help book in the world? You're going to follow the world's examples to these things? You're going to make a mess of things. Wife, how are you going to know how to be a good wife and a mother if you aren't close to God? If you're not in prayer and God can't tap you on the shoulder and put some thoughts in your mind or tweak your conscience, how are we going to know these things, people, if we're not in prayer? Right? Next thing is Bible reading. Let's go back to prayer for a second. This is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Reading, it says, give attendance. 1 Timothy 4:3 says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. You know why most people, and I mean, you need all three sides of this little triangle here. If you take away one side, what happens? It's flat. There's nothing there, right? It's just a line. You need all three sides of Bible reading. Why does Christianity have such issues today? One of the main reasons is they don't have a Bible that they believe. How can you read something that you don't even believe? How can you pick up a book? How can people who call themselves Christians pick up a book and just say, well, you don't know about that creation thing. It wasn't meant to be a historical book. Well, I don't know about, you know, this eternal salvation or eternal security. I don't know about that. And they pick and choose. How can you do that? You're not coming under the authority of the Word of God. And people, thank the Lord, if you're in here today and you believe that this Bible, this King James Bible, is the inerrant, perfect Word of God, because you have an authority. And I think most people, a lot of people who don't believe that, who have looked into the issue, they don't want an authority. Because they can pick up a Bible and they say, ooh, I don't like the way that says. And they can pick up NIV or ASV or something else or a New Living Translation or whatever. And it's, there we go. Yeah, I like that. I just have to reverence God instead of fear Him. That's better, right? People, we need to come under the authority of this book. We need to read this book. Some of you may have heard the story about my mom. She grew up Roman Catholic, but she was saved at an early age. Well, I grew up going to Lutheran church, and I was saved when I was 27. So I went to talk to my mom about salvation. I says, Mom, you know, I accept the Lord as my Savior. She says, oh, that's wonderful. And I says, have you ever done that? She says, yeah, I did that as a little girl. I never knew that. She never told me, right? Anyway, but she would never really read her Bible much. And Brother Gip was in one time, long time ago, back in the late 80s, and he gave a sermon. His whole sermon was on Bible reading and how important it is for us to read our Bible. And he says, you know, there'll come a time, if you don't read your Bible now, he says, there'll come a time, and the same is true with prayer. He says, there'll come a time you'll read your Bible. He says, it might be in the emergency waiting room while your kid's getting operated on. He says, it might be when your house is emptied out and your wife's left you. And he might be when you're sick in a hospital. And here I'd given my mom a Bible a few days before, and she was in a hospital, and she had her leg amputated below the knee, and she had a pacemaker put in. And I went into the hospital the next day. I come around the corner, look in her room, and she is sitting up in bed with a little hollow spot where her leg used to be, reading her Bible. I thought, well, people, don't let it get to that point. Don't let it get to that point in your life where you're so desperate that finally you'll cry out to God in prayer, that finally you'll start reading your Bible. You know, I've seen over the years as well as people will come into church and they'll have broken marriages, they'll have some real issues in their family, and they'll come in and they'll get plugged in for a while, they'll be under the preaching and teaching, and they're doing real well. And we used to have neighbors right across the street from where we used to live that this happened to. And you know what happened? They fell away. They were plugged into God. They knew the importance of this firsthand until things started going a little better. Until things started going a little better in their lives, and then it's like, we're fine. We don't need God that much. This Bible reading, preaching stuff, let's just sit back this Sunday morning. We don't need to go. And they started slacking off. People, don't let it be, let us not be to the point where we earnestly desire the preaching and prayer and Bible reading that takes a tragedy in our lives, that takes financial ruin, that takes a ruined relationship, it takes a wayward son or daughter. Don't let it be something like that to help us see the importance of these things, the preaching and reading and being close to God. Our relationship with God is the most important aspect of our Christian life. Like I said before, if we're not in touch with God, how can we hear that still small voice? How can we hear when God wants to speak to us? How are we going to get any wisdom? The world does not have any wisdom. And people, we don't have any wisdom on our own. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Even if we think we know what we're doing, our heart's probably deceiving us. How do we know unless we check it with the Bible? How do we know? We don't. We need to be in the book. We need to be in the book. Let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 55 for a minute. You know, when we were downtown last night, there one guy came up to me and, there's a track out that says you must have God's righteousness, and it shows a judge behind a big desk, and the person's down there, and so God's up higher and the person's down below, and he comes up and goes, hey, he says, that's not the way it is. He says, the Bible says that we're on the same level with God, man. I says, you're sadly mistaken. I says, you are not in the same level with God. And here's the proof of it. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Let's go back. Let's go back to verse 6. It's just so good. It says, 55, verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. People, the reason we need to be close to God, the reason we need to be in touch with God through prayer and preaching and Bible reading, is that we need to strive in our Christian life to have our thoughts be more like His thoughts. To have our ways be more like His ways. What do you want out of this Christian life, people? What do you want? You know, I want to get to stand before God one day. And He says, well done, a good and faithful servant. I want to be able to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And there'll be tears shed and there'll be issues to be dealt with. But I don't want a whole bunch of issues. I don't want to have gone through my life and not cared what God's thoughts are, not cared what God's ways are. I want to raise my family and conduct myself more like what God does. So when issues come up in my life that I don't sit there and ponder and ponder and ponder and why I wonder what I should do. The thought is, it's out. Because my thoughts are closer with God's thoughts. There's not this big pondering days, what should I do, what should I do? It's just like what the book says and that's what I'm doing. Right? There's no questions. And if you're newly saved, you know what? There's a lot of questions. And there's a lot of things that you'll debate and there's a lot of things you might think about. Well, because you haven't been in the book. But if you've been saved a long time, this book ought to come in and infiltrate your mind and your heart so that when issues come up and temptations come up and that sort of thing, that there's no debate. Like one preacher was in recently, a while back, and he said, there never was a question about, honey, should we go to church tonight? It's not a question. It's not a question of my family either. This has never been brought up. Never been brought up. It's time to go to church. It's never an issue about, those of you visiting, this is probably the first time this has been mentioned this year, there's never an issue in my heart or my mind about tithing. That's God's money. End of issue. Done. It's the way it is. It's no debate. There's a lot of things in Christian life that should be like that, where there's no question whatsoever that our thoughts are God's thoughts and our ways are His ways. Like I said, people, how are we going to get, life's getting harder and harder all the time, and who knows what the future is holding for our country and for us as individuals. And we all want to be comforted and helped at times. How are we going to do that if this relationship with us as individuals, we're not close to Jesus Christ? How are we going to do that? People, if He's going to comfort us, if He's going to console us, if He's going to help our marriages and help our families and help us individuals, that's the only way we can do it, is if we're close to God. All right, let's turn back to the book of Ephesians. And look at verse 25. So the next one here is the husbands. Talked about the relationship between all of us as Christians and Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the husband, what the husband's role is. In the home and in life in general. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. All right. You know, one thing, Seth and Kaylin's wedding a couple weeks back, that's pretty interesting, is that Pastor Keck mentioned something. He said, the one verse for ladies is I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And one for the men is, this one thing I do. Boy, that's so true. We're different. You know, God created the men and women different than each other. And he created us different to complement and offset each other in a marriage. And in one thing, if we can keep in mind in our marriage relationships as husbands and wives between yourselves, that we're different, and to try to understand where that your spouse is coming from is just a huge help. But I got looking through here last night and this morning, and I'm thinking, you know, really, in some ways, the Bible has way more to say about a husband in a relationship than does the wife. You know, wives, whenever this whole chapter is brought up, everybody always gets, not everybody, but some people really get offended about the wife and the submission issue. But you know, in reality, the husband's got a lot to deal with. The husband's got a lot of things that he better have in order if this is going to work from here on down. So let's talk about some of those, and hopefully they'll help you. In that verse there, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? How did he love the church? He gave himself for it, right? Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that is an amazing thing. There's so many verses in the Bible you could just sit and ponder on for days, really. But we had nothing to offer Jesus Christ. Nothing. We are poor, wretched, miserable, hell-bound sinners. And God, in his foreknowledge, knew every thought that would ever come across our minds, everything we'd ever do, all the sin in our life. He knew all that. And he commendeth his love toward us. That's amazing. Now, the Bible says, man, husbands, that you need to love your wife like that. That's some high ground. See, it doesn't matter if she's a little cranky today. It doesn't matter if things aren't going quite right. It doesn't matter if you've had kind of a bad day at work. We need to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We need to love our wives as our own bodies. And that's some high ground. We had nothing to offer Christ, yet he died for us. He did it unconditionally. He did it sacrificially. He did it with much thought and preparation. He did it with much provision. We need to work on our relationships, husbands, with our wives in those ways. We need to love them unconditionally, no matter what they might look like the first thing in the morning, no matter if they're a little cranky, no matter if they met all your expectations in some area, whatever it is. You need to love them sacrificially. It means you're going to put her first and yourself last. You're going to have much thought and preparation. You know what, guys? I think everyone in every husband in this room can probably use a little more thought and preparation and making our wives feel cherished and special. Maybe think ahead a little bit and say, what does she really like? What could I do this Friday that would really just kind of put a smile on her face? Maybe just a little note, couple flowers, whatever. Think about it, right? What Christ prepared greatly, he prepared for 4,000 years for the church. Yeah, we can make that type of preparation for our wives. The provision. You know, guys say, oh, I provide for my wife and she's got a bunch of stuff and, you know, I bring home the bread. Okay. What about spiritually? What about spiritually? Do you provide for your wife spiritually? This isn't a physical kingdom we're in right now, right? This is not a spiritual kingdom. This is this kingdom right now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. We're not out here, guys, fighting a physical war. We're not fighting a physical battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And I've known men who take all these advanced precautions to, you know, safeguard their home, and, you know, they get, the concealed carry permit. They do all these things, and they make sure they sleep in the... I heard one guy say once, he says, well, I'm going to when I had my house, he says, we move in that new house, I'm going to sleep in the living room because anybody comes in the door has to get through me to get to my kids. But he won't bring them to church. Right? He doesn't care anything about their spiritual well-being. They're not in church anywhere. But he was really concerned about their physical safety, but nothing about the spiritual well-being of his family. And people, how are we, and it's good to do, you safeguard your family. You make sure that there's locks in the doors and that sort of thing and make sure everything's, safe around the house and provide for your family, for your wife. But what about spiritually? You would never think of stopping in a bad section of town and saying, honey, will you run into the Burger King there and I'm going to park out here in a dark part of the park. I'll run in there and get me some onion rings and I'll be waiting in the car. She'd look at you like you had three heads, right? And rightfully so. You wouldn't put your wife to that kind of physical endangerment. You wouldn't think of doing that. But what kind of a spiritual endangerment are you putting her in? By not being the kind of example as a husband and a father that you need to be. See, we look at this whole world physically, and that's just what the devil wants us to do. We need to look at it in a spiritual realm. And we need to protect our wives and our families spiritually. And we need to be kind of example husbands that our wives, we'll get this later, can submit to. We need to be the kind of fathers, husbands, that our children can look up to and be an example to. And that's some high ground, but that's what we need to do. But why do we do that? It says here, verse 26. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing water by the word. Okay, why do we do this for our wives? Why does the Bible say? Verse 27, the first word, that. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The reason, husbands, that we need to be all we need can possibly be for our wives, according to the Bible, is so that we can present them to God, just like Christ is presenting the church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. We want to do that so that they can give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we give them everything spiritually that they need so that they can be all they can be for Jesus Christ. It's not about us getting any type of better relationship. That is the primary purpose, is for us to provide for them what they need to be a better spiritually. How many of you people have ever had a boss in the past that was not very fun to work for? I've had a couple. I won't go into the details, but boy, was I glad when they got transferred, or I did. But, listen, why is it? Why was it hard? Bottom line was, it was hard to submit to that person. Husbands, don't make it hard for your wife to submit to you. Don't be like that. You despised it in that person that you had to go in every Monday morning to. Don't expect your wife to be any different. Okay? We need to be the kind of husbands that are not like that bad boss. Let's see here. She can't, like I said, she can't be all that she needs to be or desires to be, husbands, unless we're doing our part. Ephesians 5:28 says, love their wives as their own body. Nourish and cherish them. Talked about that. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. I got to hurry. I won't get to the wives. My goodness. I've seen a couple of ladies going back and switching hands and the clocks. And let's go. Boost me up. I can reach it. All right. Let's see. Colossians 3:19. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Hebrews 12:15 says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled. I'm not sure why exactly that the Bible commands the husbands not to be bitter to their wives, but the wives aren't admonished to be not bitter against their husbands. And if there's something unique in a relationship, I thought of it, I couldn't get a clear answer on it, of why it's easier for a man to be bitter at his wife than a wife at the husband. Maybe she's more patient, more long-suffering than a man is in general. I don't know. Maybe part of it is because a man likes to get a hold of a problem and fix it quick. Let's get on with it. And all of a sudden in this relationship, there's some issue that comes up. Say, honey, what's wrong? Nothing. You okay? I'm fine. Right? And there's some issues that come up, and the man just wants to just fix it. What's wrong? Just tell me. Please tell me. Let's get this over with and be happy. And it doesn't always work that way. And so the man puts a wall up and kind of takes a step back, and there's a little bit of bitterness there. A little wall of bitterness. It's fine. Right? The Bible says, don't be bitter. You know what's really hard? Is then I think, okay, if I'm a little bit bitter, now my prayers aren't even going to be answered. So before I pray about it, I need to not be bitter. How can I pray about not being bitter when I'm bitter? Right? No, just kidding. But just stop. But seriously, it is a thing. Husbands and Brother Grissom, taught on it, preached on it last Sunday night about the bitterness and that sort of thing. But we need to watch it. It's just, we're different. We're made up different. Ladies have different issues than we do. We have different issues. But one, the Bible commands us, guys. It says, be not bitter against them. For whatever reason, that root of bitterness can seep in, and we need to guard against it. Because what does the devil want? Oh, he wants to be bitter. He wants that wall built up there. And if you're feeling bitter at your wife, there is no way that you're going to be the kind of husband that you should be for her. All right, we have even more on the husbands here. So we better get moving. 1 Peter 3:7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Another verse there about the prayers being not hindered. It says, give honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. You know, we need to, husbands, is to honor our wife, or make her feel special. But you need to, how do I explain this? You need to make her feel that, like I say, that she is special. And the other thing is this, is that don't, see, there's things that you can say, somebody can say to a guy, it doesn't bother him. You know, guys, you never know what a guy's kid. Oh, you look kind of funny today. Yeah, you do too, you know. Like on the job site, we're working, we kid back and forth. Ladies don't do that. They don't do that. And sometimes I'll come home and say, oh, man, it was really funny today. Brian did this, and then, you know, and Terry did this, and it was just funny, you know. And it's like, what's funny about that? You know, oh, he had his hand sticking through the door, and I took the sprayer and sprayed it with varnish, and that's funny. You know, guys have a different sense of humor than women do, right? What was I getting at with that? Let's see. Okay. But what I was getting at with that is this, is that, guys, there's things that you can say to your wife that don't go over real well, right? And I hear this thing on the radio, it's kind of true. It says a guy speaks through a blue megaphone to his wife with a pink hearing aid, and vice versa. You might have the best intentions, but it doesn't always get through that way because she's different. And likewise, the other way around. You know, the example given was this wife was sad at her husband, or was mentioned her husband, man, I went through the holidays, honey, I gained 10 pounds. Just frustrated myself. And he's heading out the door and said, well, you know, let's talk about that later, honey. I'm late for work, you know. While he's on his lunch break at work, he's going through a bookstore. And on the end cap, what do you know, is a little book called How to Lose That Holiday Weight. And he's thinking, well, praise God. She just mentioned this to me. And here it is on the end cap, you know. I'm going to get that book. And so he brings it home. And, well, it was a quiet time around the fire that night. But, you know, he thought he was doing right. The other flip side is they've been having some issues. And so she says, man, I wish I could. She's going through the bookstore and she sees a book. Says, how can I, 101 ways to be a better husband. You know, it's like 300 pages. So she says, oh, man, I know he'd probably get a blessing out of the book here. And I should get this for him. So she brings it home. And And she gets looking at it, man, it's 300 pages. I'm just going to highlight some things in here for him because I know he's not going to take the time to read it all. He's busy and he's got work and he's got responsibilities. So he's sitting down there watching a football game one day and she plops a little book and says, here, honey, I got you something. And it's 101 Ways to Be a Better Husband. It's like, what? Aren't I the good husband? 101 Ways. Hey, you highlight it for me? What is that? You don't think I can look in there and see where it's supposed to be? See? I mean, we're different, right? But husbands, look at the relationship and think. You know, sometimes it'll take more because we don't have much gray matter up there sometimes. We're really dense. I always say, I don't think boys get their any common sense to at least sometime well after the groom's dinner, but we need to think about it. They react different. Think about it. And if we put them first and spend some time thinking about it, it'll work out. But we need to cherish and love our wives. Secondly, in the other line is, well, it goes both ways, is don't ever, ever, ever say anything negative about them in front of other people. Oh, that's bad. That's bad. It goes both ways. Husbands don't, and wives, I've heard wives say, right in front of people, well, if my husband would make a little more money, we'd have some nice stuff too. Oh, just cut the guy's legs off, man. Right? Or, well, honey, if you would have got supper ready for our company, we wouldn't be having to wait all this time in front of people. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. We need to think. And why do those things come up? Because we're selfish. Because we're thinking about ourselves more. So, guys, just think about what it is. Think about, take a step back and think about how you would like to submit to you. And then try to make yourself better. And so it's not so burdensome. Because you know what? You know, the very fact, guys, that she said yes is a miracle. You know, at least in my case it is. I was a lost, selfish man, and my wife, she was lost too, but that's a miracle. She puts up with you all the time. She bore your children. I think most of you guys can say in here that your wife wants to raise your children in a godly manner. That's a blessing. That she wants to stand for God. And don't make it hard for her. All right, wives. All right. Time's up. All right, what does it say about the wives here? Let's see, I just skipped a page. It was not intentional. There we go. All right. Ephesians 5, 18 to 24. And actually, I'm going to teach Wednesday, too, so I'm probably some other things I want to talk or teach on, so I'll probably continue some of it then Wednesday night. But 5:18, because I want to, well, we'll go into later. We'll jump down to 21. So, submitting yourselves one to another, Ephesians 5:21, in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Therefore, is church a subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So, as wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. What does submit mean? It says, yield to the power or control or authority of some person or group. Now, I'm not sure why that's such a hard thing. I know why. I mean, you've got to submit. You know, we all need to submit to God, and that's hard enough, right? And, you know, a husband, all he has to do is submit to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is perfect. But the wife has a real burden here because she's got to submit to the husband who's not perfect and sometimes can be a real jerk. All of us can be that way sometimes. And so the wife has this huge responsibility to do that. But, you know, why is that hard? Mostly it's because of pride or stubbornness, or you think you know better. I mean, let's face it, the reason any of us don't submit to Jesus Christ in some way, shape, or form is the same type of thing. We all have an authority problem. An authority problem comes down to pride or stubbornness, or we think we know better. And ladies, it should not be that hard, especially if the husband is trying to do his part. See, here's the thing. Okay, it might be hard for you to submit to him, but you know what? It's kind of a no-lose situation. If you submit to him, you're doing right. And if he's wrong, it's his fault. right? I mean, it might not be pleasant circumstances, but he is responsible, not you. Now, if you take it upon yourself and you say, no, I don't just think, we're not doing it that way. And the guy's not going to say, he might just say, okay, fine. Now you got two things against you, because you very well could be wrong and you didn't submit. So if you submit and you're right, you got two, you know, it's too good. Either way, you're going to win. So, because it's going to be the husband's responsibility. So, what else here? Let's run a couple things here. All right. So, what does it mean to submit? Because it doesn't say just to submit. It doesn't give specifics. What kind of things in the Christian life, in a marriage, the wives need to submit to? Need to submit unto his guidance and leadership? And don't make big decisions without him. You know, there's decisions that come up in life and say, well, you need to talk about it. You need to make sure it's okay with your husband. Now, and you think, and that right there, that went against the grain of some of you already. It says, don't be spending large amounts of money without checking with your husband. Just different things. Don't, big decisions or even little decisions about the kids. Check with your husband. You know what? I do the same thing with my wife. Not that I have to, but I value her opinion. God put us together, and there's differences within the two of us, and all you folks too, in your marriage, that God put you together for a reason, to balance each other out. And she doesn't know very much about my business at all, but I say, what do you think about this? This is the situation. Bing, 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 bing. You know, what do you think I should do with this customer? What should I think? She says, well, what about this, this, and this? I say, yeah, that's a good idea. Because she's looking at it from a whole different perspective. And guess what? God can speak through her. I greatly value her opinion. And I don't spend, you know, once in a while I'll do something, a surprise her or something, but we've talked about it. But I don't spend large amounts of money either without talking to her about it. Because I value her opinion. And I realize that God will speak through her. Now, as a situation might come up where we disagree, it's I don't make the decision. And she submits to it. But I value her opinion. And guys, you're foolish if you don't talk to your wife about some decisions in your marriage, in your family, and financially, or any other way. If you don't talk to your wife about it, because the Lord can speak through her. But the main thing we're talking about here is the wives submitting to the husband. And you say, you might be sitting there as a wife, say, that's crazy, that's stupid. You don't know my husband. God does. God knew your husband when he said, wives, submit to your husband in all things. Here's another thing. You might be sitting here today as a wife and say, oh, struggle, 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 submitting to my husband. Why is it? I don't like it. But you know what? I bet some of you will go to work, and I bet some of you will go and submit yourself to a man who's a boss. You'll submit to that man, but you won't submit to your husband. It's not a submission issue, it's a rebellion issue. You don't want the authority that God put in place. You'd rather have the authority over you that man put in place for a buck. Think about that. Think about that. So you will. It's not a matter of if you can do it. You can do it because you prove it at your job. The fact is that you won't do it. Okay? So you need to submit to the husbands. What else you need to submit in? What about the raising of children? A wife that's submissive to her husband won't go against her husband's wishes or contradict his leadership in raising children. The husband says, you know, I really want these things to happen in our family. I want whatever it might be. You know, devotions and this, and our girls to do this, and our guys not to do this, whatever. What do you know? Obviously, he's not going to say this is the way it is and this is it. But they talk about it, and if there's a difference in opinion on it, and they've thought and prayed about it, you need to submit to his authority, not your own. And so, there can't be any double standards. Don't let it ever be where, well, let's go ask mom if we can do it, because she's a pushover. They don't say she's a pushover, but says let's go ask mom. Oh, ma'am, don't ever do that. Because you're sending such a message down to those kids about that this whole structure that God has set in place is just a bunch of junk. That's what your message is saying to your kids. Don't do that. You need to submit yourselves to the husband's convictions and standards. Don't send a mixed message to the kids. And what if they're not easy to submit to? 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 1. First Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives." It says, even if they obey not the word, even if they're lost, even if they're backslid, even in your eyes they don't measure up to what you think they should be. And wives and husbands, don't go looking around and thinking, man, I wish my wife was like that, you know, the way she treated her husband, or wish my husband treated me like that husband treats her. Oh, don't do that. Don't. That's bad. That's bad. Because you know what? All you're seeing, slightly off the subject, all you're seeing when you're looking at that particular trait in that person is, say, boy, that husband is really nice because he does that for his wife. Or that wife is really nice. That's all you're seeing, is that little bit. Don't go to seed on that. You be thankful for what you have, what God's blessed you with, and use that to strengthen your marriage. But what happens if the husband is backslid or whatever reason? It says that if they obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. The conversation means how their actions and how they react to things. The only way you're going to get that husband turned around, if God can get a hold of him and convict him and change him. Secondly, the Bible says if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then it'll work. It won't work by nagging. That nagging will put a big barrier up, a big wall up. That will not work. God needs to get a hold of his heart, or the husband needs to see you reacting and acting in a way that will draw him to Christ and draw him back. Let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. Wait. Let's see here. Yep. We'll read on a little more. It says, "While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but that let it be that hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. For after this manner in old time the holy woman also, who entrusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Wives, what it needs to be is a meek and quiet spirit. You say, well, I'm not very meek. I'm not very quiet. So, I am not very, where's patient on here? I'm not very patient. Does that give me an excuse? No. The Bible says, because a lady needs to have a meek and quiet spirit. Moses, it's not that you're subservient. Moses, the Bible says he was meekest among all men, right? But that's what we need to strive for, or the ladies need to strive for, is to have that meek and quiet spirit. Some are very outgoing. Some are very controlling at times, that sort of thing. We're running out of time here. We need to look at this list here and look at this. This is the negative, obviously. Seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, emulations, wrath, and strife. These are all the negatives, obviously, and you can take these characteristics, these adjectives here, and you can flip them around and make this negative as well, to be ungentle, ungood, and unfaithful, and sort of thing. But we need to strive, people, for righteousness. And this is, we're wrapping up here, this is with all our relationships here, is the reason these things fail is one is the command structure, but secondly, because we don't strive enough after these fruits of Spirit and these types of things that God points out to us. Righteousness, godliness, faith, patience, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, contentment. What I want to challenge with you today on is to take a look at that list, or look in the list in your Bible. I'll give you a quick story here. There was a man that started, how many of you know of that heard of the Delta Force? They're like the anti-terrorist rescue team. They're made up of the elite of the elite. They take Navy SEALs and Army Recon and, you know, all of them. They take all the different branches, and they might test out 100 guys and take two or three. And when that Delta Force is being formed back in late 70s after Jimmy Carter finally got around to rescuing the hostages, we won't get into that, but anyway, in Iran. Anyway, the colonel that was interviewing these people, and these are highly, highly, highly trained soldiers from all branches, and he went through all the testing and all the interrogation, and then he had an interview with them. And he said, I want you to name me three of your weaknesses. And without exception, if those soldiers could not list three weaknesses that they had, they were out. The reason was this. People, if we don't, that's just a secular illustration, but if we don't know the weaknesses in our life, if we don't have something to work on here, how are we going to improve? You can say, well, I'm really a long-suffering person. What does Christianity dwell on? What God has gifted me with. And I am very loving and peaceable and very lots of faith, and that's my strengths. Don't worry about your strengths. You think about, pick three weaknesses out on here. Pick three. I did this a while ago. I wrote them down on a little post-it, stuck it on my desk. So it's in my mind. Because the devil doesn't want you to do that. Just pick three. Go through your Bible. Pick three. Contentment. Are you content with everything? We can go on down the list. But pick three and just work on that. And aside from the whole commands, the whole authority structure and us knowing our place and the husband having to take the responsibility that he needs to and the wife taking the responsibility that she needs to, and we'll talk more about Wednesday about the parents and the children and vice versa and that sort of thing and friendships, but we'll get into that later. But these things here, if we just take three of them and work on them, it'd be a real blessing. Real blessing. And just have them forefront in our mind. All right, a couple more quick things here. We'll let you go. I guess actually the next thing we're going to get into fathers and mothers and that sort of thing. But I hope it was clear on this. And like I say, I am by no means an authority by any, like I said, only the authority I'm going on, people, is authority of this book and what it says. And hopefully it came across in a way that made sense to you. A lot of it was real basic things. But you know what? We all need to be reminded of it. I learned a lot myself studying through this, and I pray that hopefully it was a use to you. Because you know what? The devil wants to destroy this structure. He wants to sever these things. He wants to destroy our homes. He wants to destroy our friendships. He wants to take your joy away. Why? You know what, people? Keep in mind, if you're a child of God here today, if you've been born again, God loves you, and He wants His best for you. And the devil hates you. And he wants to destroy you and me and our children. He hates us. And that world hates us. If you guys think, any of you in here, think that people in general just kind of love God, please, please, go on the street with us sometime. Knock on someone's door and very nicely and politely say, hi, we're from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And here's a gospel tract for you to have. And we're wondering if he could talk to you about your soul a little bit. Bam! Don't let the devil misguide you in thinking that everyone just kind of loves God. All those people last night didn't. It was a roughest towards the end. I was really glad to get out of there. But you know what? They're lost. They're on their way to hell. They're without hope, without God in this world. And people, we need to reach them. But we can't reach them if this isn't right. Primarily, if this isn't right, if our relationship with God isn't right, and if we're in the midst of these issues, it's going to be hard for us to reach them. And if we can stay close to God and know our place, where we are, and I'm not wise, I know it's a hard thing to take the submission thing, but hey, the husband has a big, big, big responsibility. Everything comes back on us. And you know what? We just need to stand before God one day. We're going to be the ones responsible. And if you submit, He's responsible. You'll just sit there and watch. Right? So let's bow forward to prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the attentiveness of your people this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you'd work in people's hearts. And Lord, I pray that people would be comforted. ran short of time here, but Lord, there's a lot of things that a lot of people are doing right, and there's a lot of fruit that's being born in this church. There's a lot of families that are doing good, and kids doing well, and husband and wives doing well, and this was in no means a gloom and doom teaching session, Lord. Hopefully this was meant to be an admonishment and a help, an encouragement, to a reminder for husbands and wives, and Lord, our relationship with you is always needs to be improved on. Father, I pray you'd help us and guide us in the weeks ahead. And Lord, I just pray you'd find us faithful and help us be doing all that you'd have us to do. And speak to our hearts, Father, and help us desire that still small voice. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.